This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Ed emailed that he's not going to be here. Okay. Good. So he had. So we're in the middle of Yigaris Taman, and he had spoken about the different umois. He had spoken about the first about all the introductions and so on, and they about the Umos HaOlam, how they tried to get Kol Yisrael to give up Torah and so on. They were, I guess, jealous, upset with Kol Yisrael, and the Mela, they wanted to get Kol Yisrael to give it up. It's sort of always like when you have kids in a class, and the bad kids decide if the good kids don't do it either, then we're all in the same boat basically, and there's nobody can prove godless. So he says, "V'charkach." I think we're holding Ischacha Katacheres Shemigdal Lelos Binyana. Yeah, is that what we're holding, or before? Yeah. V'acharkach ischatcha kataheres shemagdelos binyano umer chayinim mishnei yane kitos. They have a combination of both the things before about trying to kill out Klal Yisrael and trying to svakech with them. The klei mikat haizgabrus and mikat atainis vakushis, both those that were that ask questions and those that just try to just overpower. The ruas of the eitzel lakachim muzos derecher, and it has a different oifin in which to be oikah Klal Yisrael. Vehu shehisnakel batzosoi, the one at the head of this kita found a way around. Lizvadea b'shem nevua olechadish dos malat es Hashem. He came along and said, "Kilu, he's a navi, and he has something that is a new Torah." We bala to Hashem. V'odia b'ram sh'shtei ha'Torahs meis Hashem. So he said, I'm not Chas v'Shalom telling you that you are wrong, but it's fakert. There's another piece missing from you. The kavanos lechadish hasofik ulehachtes bevuchem loyisenu v'yoyis ha'Torah achas hefach acheres u'shteim mechmonos l'hai acher. So basically, we have two quote unquote Torahs. One of them is being mate whatever the other one asks. This is, obviously he's talking about Yeshu, that's Pashit. So he's saying, you have to read the end of the book, and the end of the book is really what Hashem wants. Lias zeh mevoy v'shan, this is what I'm saying, that's the way to be says our Torah. V'zu b'tachbulo niflo asher seh isha ramoid. There's a gewaldic kechap over here, it's about the chap over here how he's trying to do this. Shu yishtad laharag soine imiskay mehu, or kshe yila yishtad bin shahargu atzmi visoine. It's something which when your first option is to kill your enemy. If not, you say to yourself, okay. Sort of Thomas Nafshi implished him. So instead of, at first it was, we are better than you. Okay? So that requires, that's a head on confrontation, that's problematic. But if if I'm able to sort of feed them something that they can live with and then die from it, that becomes much worse. So he says, "Utchilas mishematzu adas." The first one that had this idea of having a religion that incorporates Judaism and chokes it, haya Yeshua Noitzri, v'hu miYisrael. He was Jewish, v'hu afal pishe aviv goy v'me Israelis. even though his father was a goy, and his mother says, "Ha'ikubi adeinu goy ve'ever ababas Yisrael havlad kosher." So, at the end of the day, he's Jewish. Doesn't make him less Jewish. Ve'ulam nikra'eyu lehafli b'cherpasay, but we call him, and I don't know what exactly it is. There's something missing here. We call him X Amamza, I guess, to be Maflik Bicharpase. Who Hevi Lachshev. So what he tried to get us to consider is as follows: Shehu Shaluach Mashem Levayas Vegas Atayra, that he's sent from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mevayah, the pieces in turn need to be clarified. Veshu Mashiach Hayoed Lanu Al Yad Kol Navi, and he's the one that all of the Navim referred to as Mashiach. Upeirish Hatera Pirish Hamevil Lebitul Kol Atayra Chon Tzisel VeHatikol Zasrael Lefi Mashikiven. So if you swallow his pshatim and pirushim, then basically it's going to destroy all of Tyra. So he said this is a new ploy. It's like I guess I would use the marshal of what they call it, jujitsu or judo type, where you take a person with his own swing and use the power against the person. So you basically are holding the person, and you're using the koyach of the person's swing. You take with the swing and you take it, you know, and move it forward, pull it forward, and so on. So here also he said, "Fakir Torah is good; it's great, and take it with the fullness of Torah. Have the full Bible, and by swallowing the full Bible, you lose everything." V'gishu chachamim zechayin levracha v'lekhavonase koyin shishchaz b'sum buma. Chazal immediately felt what he's doing. V'asa leheroiloi, and they gave him over. They killed him. Not clear. Again, he said, "Vosloi royalty." They did whatever they were supposed to do to him, whether it means he gave it over to the Romans or they themselves killed him. So the Rambam says, and this is something that in modern history we're very not clear about what his kavanas really were, and what did he actually say, and what did they put in his mouth. The later people, it's all for us it's a mystery. I don't know whether known for level, no, because we don't have any clear historical records. We don't know exactly what he felt or believed, and the records we have to trust, the Gospels were written much later, so we don't have a clear idea. Rambam says that was his the reason why he was killed, obviously, was because his kavana was to be a Torah and places a media. And it's in the pasuk Yishtadl Ish Mipritzei Amein of Grefeim Lahafsi Torah Bispar Benevua. So the pasuk says that, you know, there'll be Mipritzei Amcha that will try to harm Klal Yisrael, and this is what it's referring to. V'hichnas Atzem B'yonim G'doylem V'amah Shu Mashiach V'shashem Yachshileu. And he said himself that he would fall, you know, he would become a martyr, which he was. So he prophesied that he's come as Klal Yisrael's Messiah and will fail and be, you know, captured and killed in Kachav. So what happened in effect to Christianity is it became a religion of the Goyim. It's not what he wanted, not what he had in mind. He was coming specifically to be Oikar Klal Yisrael. He wasn't interested in the Goyim. And I guess the historians also feel that original Christianity was meant to be for Jews, and because the only success they had among the Gentiles, they had to be vatal circumcision, other things like that. They were very basic to the Jews, and they had to repackage it to make it possible for the Goyim. But at the end, Klal Yisrael had only minor losses. So basically, he said in the core mission that he wanted to do, and and what he wanted to accomplish, he never ever was able to accomplish. It became its own religion without it really affecting Klal Yisrael. You know, it's affecting Xeris, and there were people in all the Duras that Shmad, but certainly not. It wasn't a pegia in the core of Klal Yisrael and so on. V'amad achav mishuga v'noakim in hagay. And then a crazy guy got up, and that was Muhammad. He calls him the crazy. I guess the Muslims didn't have senses. So Yeshua he calls a Russia. Yeshua is a Jewish person, and it was something where he wanted to be mevalbal Klal Yisrael and so on. This other one, basically, he says, is a Meshuggah who imitated the idea that you should make a new religion. He realized, you know, you don't need to open up a new business. You can just simply remodel the old one and, make it, better and nicer and more accessible and more comfortable. So, whereas Yeshu's kavanas were for solely for the religious aspect of it, as far as Muhammad went, he was interested in expanding a malchus. He wanted to make a melucha, and that's true about the Muslims today. They don't have that separation of church and state in any sense of the word. By them, the malchus, the ummah, the nation of faithful ones are the nation of faithful ones, and it doesn't make a difference that that's a country, that's a nation, that's the people, and that's a religion. In Christianity, there were some tkufis where the popes tried to be also in charge of earthly emperors, but at the end of the day, there was no core identification of the religion with nationalities and countries, etc. So he says, and he was mechadish the Quran. V'kulam ein cheftzam el adam shekem das Hashem. So they all, the both of them, both Islam and Christianity, what they're trying to do is their chap is to take whatever it is that they want to sell and attach it to Yiddishkeit. He said that anyone could mistake one for the other, you really have to be someone who knows nothing, understands nothing, etc. He said the comparison is like a living person to a statue of the person. to a wax figure. Like a statue. Shaksil sheni yadeh chokma loikis amlocha hi. Beroyis atzalmo hu bitmus odom chol mishtacha golov savnis musim reyu. Yachshu shenasko mishtacha odom. Lefi sheni yadeh pnimi shal shnehem. So the Rambam's mashal here, it's interesting. The Rambam uses this mashal, the Kuzari uses this mashal. Both of them use a mashal that the dimyan is chitzoni versus pnim. I want to clarify, I guess, a certain point or this mashal over here. So the Kuzari also says this mashal. He says that all the Musalim built these tremendous hechalas to God and so on and so forth, but the dimyan of theirs to the living being, to a Torah, is like a dimyon of a figure cut in stone to a living person. And he goes even further, Kuzari, he says, just like a living person, even a small piece of the living person is closer to the living person than a full-size statue. So if I take a cell, a bone of a living person, and so if I show a child three things, a living person, a bone of a living person, and a full-size statue of a living person, and I ask him, group the two. So a child would group the statue with the person. A bar das would group the person with the bone. So that's the mashal he uses. I'd like just to explain a little bit the full illustration here. When something is living, we're saying two things about it. There is a chelek chitzoni. A living being has a chelek chitzoni, or else it would not be a being. Anything that is absolutely invisible, meaning can't be seen, smelled, heard, or sensed anyway, is not part of this world. Doesn't mean anything. So a being that's not living, a being that's not, if it's not physical, it's not a being, but living is adarava. Life is a pneumistic quality. When we see something, the only way we can tell whether it's living or not is if there's something going on inside. The heart's beating, the person is breathing, the blood is circulating. It's always, and that's something you can't photograph. You have to see it and detect it. So you always are detecting life in something else. You're never ever seeing life. So whenever your tfisa is a chitzonis ketfisa, meaning a tfisa derech dechushim, v'sulay midi, so anytime you see a statue, you see the person. Let's give an example. If a computer had to identify a person with a statue that looks exactly like a person, it would say it's the person. Because the life in the person is a sense that we have. A aura in the face, a glint in the eye, action going on inside, and so on. So, sometimes you have, when people overdose on pills, sometimes you have a matzah where everything closes down, that person is still alive, and an hour later the person might wake up. So life is a pneumistic quality associated to it. Umas Olam, who have no intuitive sense of that life or living, so they can only measure things like a computer would. So, okay, this is a religion. People gather together very seriously. They worship very somberly. They do great deeds and help people. Fantastic. And this is a religion. People gather very somberly and they do this or that. The difference is, it's simply in the pneumas. So you never catch the difference. Someone was also telling me, I think it was when I was teaching Shatora, that a guy walked in, and like a guy off the street, and he said something, I don't know, in the conversation about the most amazing rabbi he ever met, and very, very nispal from this amazing rabbi. And if they're sort of trying to get the person to pin down exactly what is it that was so amazing about him, the answer was he had the longest white beard he ever saw in his life. Never saw such a long white beard. So yes, for a person that has that type of perception, that's all he sees. So if they only test it by what they see in front of them, then it looks the same. But if somebody, a chacham, yudea pnimia shalzeh v'shalzeh, a chacham dehers the pnimius, az yudea sha pnimia shalzeh atzelem, ein sham tikkun melacha. He can be oimed that this pnimius does not have any real pnimius, In other words, it's not kitikuna. And a person who looks at a human being is, I mean, so a person looks at this pestle, he sees nothing. He recognizes that there's no inside, but he also knows that the pnim is a person has tremendous, an extraordinary complexity. He sees the nerves in the flesh, which is the reason for voluntary motion. In other words, how the contraction of muscles, the enlargement, or the fifas kishurav, echos gidulav, arkavs over a prokav, moitzi, arkam esnayim, va arkam shenim esnayim, vishalkom, v'yishuv nesachav, k'tasam k'tasam, yitzayim p'nimim, kadavim askuntiv, v'tayusim k'hemi. So, if a person knows the inside of the anatomy, and knows the complexity of the person inside, so he won't just say, well, it looks on the outside the same, so it's the same. Kein adava b'ksil, so the fool who doesn't understand the content of Kisra Kodesh and Mitzvahs, so he takes a look and says, well, they're very similar, the comparative religion. Jewish religion forbids and allows and enjoins to do certain things. It reminds you sometimes especially today where people have access online, is that a person is oimid on he looks at something somebody had written, and he says, wow, you know, it's a very, very, it's a long work with so many footnotes, very erudite. If he can't read the footnotes, and he doesn't know what it says, and can't has no sense of the entire Inyan, then, of course, what does he know? So he says the same. He'll understand that there's nothing in the pnimius that there's a tzivu azhara. Everything in over there has no value. So in Torah, a person will find in the pnimius of Torah that there's a shleimus adam. It keeps him. It gives him midas nachoines. It's moneah also zanzakim. Ubahem ya kibutz aloiki amuula v'magia v'chaynas shleimus elu. He says, and by being mekayim Torah or the content of Torah, v'achoynas asher kloima ashleimus ashoynas sheyasmodas kiyuma bolam hazeh achiyuv anyan usul adam. One toelus of Torah is that it gives a person the physical needs that he needs to live in this world. V'ashleimus ashniyas sheyasogus hamuskolus v'ashem batzim figosh adam. The second one is understanding the content of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and the depth of those miskolas kifi koicha shel adam. Now I guess in the modern approach, I think we have another phase in today's world. A Western person, a modern Western person, even if he is quote unquote religious, but if he's sufficiently westernized, his approach is religion is very important. Religion brings out what's good in a person. The religious rituals and stories are just they don't have any particular content be'etzim. They're just wonderful tools to get points across, to raise awareness in people, v'chulu v'chulu v'chulu. In other words, they don't see a be'etzim content to Elohim mitzvahs. They just see that it's generally good things and so on. Now, so in effect, they're saying that the panemius of the Torah has no, it's not a panemius, it's the chitzonius itself brings the panemius. So it's not because there's a teichen amiti inside it, but the playing with the dolls as they are, so that's why anytime we create a set of rituals will give you the good that you get out of anything. So if I sort of am a person with great personality, and I sit down and I take stones and rub them, and in a very deep voice and say some magical things, it will have the same effect as anything else. So they say that there is a teichen, but the teichen is not linked to the chutz. It's linked in a very agav way. So that means many, many types of teichen will give you the same. It's like if I say I need, I don't know, caulking material for a crack. Whatever material doesn't make a difference. As long as stuff's to hold, it's good enough. People need religious activities. It does A, B, C, D, and E. So whatever it is fine. Vihine says, K'moikein, so he gave a marshal of the difference between two types of you know, figures. He says it's so true. It's those religions that pretend to be, I guess, Demetrischkeit would be the right word. The stories that are just there to say, ah, this one was like this one, this was like this one. I want to just say a point over here. One of the, I guess, and I hate using the word proofs of Torah being Ben Hashemayim, is in every single religious narrative, there's a great hero who does no wrong and is the hero of the story. I mean, and he's the guy who commissioned the book. You know, people ask a lot of times, well, why? How come we don't find any Egyptian inscriptions about the Makis and Makis Mitzrayim and so on? Well, the answer is quite simple. There was no press. There was no Cairo Daily, Alexandria Daily, that came after Mitzrayim. The people who would write these hieroglyphics were the kings that ordered the royal biographer to write up the great triumph of X, Y, and Z. So your typical hieroglyphic narrative goes, I, the great, the one and only king so-and-so, did get very angry at this in this country, and I decided I will wipe them out, make a lesson of them, and I crushed them under my boot, enslaved them, took their money, and v'chula v'chula, and let everybody see what kind of great, wonderful king I am. That's the typical story, one way or another, because that's the way, that's the people who wrote these things. No king wrote confessions, I was an idiot, overconfident, overdrunk, and let myself be fooled into a war, which I came out badly whipped. I don't have that type of inscription. That had to wait for journalists to come and to make a living off writing about somebody else's tsaras. There was no such thing like that. So in all the religions, you know, Yeshua is Yeshua and can do no wrong. Muhammad's Muhammad and he's can do no wrong. The only sefer that's like that is the Torah Kedusha, Lahavdil Alfalfa Abdullah. In the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu is a great hero, but he did wrong. Avram did wrong. There's not a single person there that is absolute hero. That's amazing. So obviously, whoever wrote it was writing Emes. You know, if Moshe wrote it, which he did, he obviously was hearing of sounds, because it there's nothing parallel to it in any of the worldly things where the person Yan Lo Imantem like the Sheni. David HaMelech, you know, who wrote these things? Why did HaMelech write these several things about himself? You know, there's just nothing else that's similar to it. But he said those religions were written by people who wanted Kavaratzmi. V'izbara avrinusa nechachamim, v'nasa hadova schoik litzanis. Chazal figured it out, and it became a litzanis. So just like any time something is an imitation that makes us laugh, is it has all of the external manifestations and oddities of whatever it is that I'm imitating, but none of the realities. It's like, you know, I'm pretending to be a doctor in a play. So it's very funny because I will go through emotions that a doctor is going through, and yet everybody knows I don't know what in the world I'm doing, and people find that to be very, very amusing. We even have it today. Somebody who knows absolutely nothing whatsoever about governing and the government, and he pretends to be a president, a future president, and he's in the polls, he's the best. I guess people really like that, to have somebody sort of get up and prava kilu he's a president. But so once they became clear to them that he's just imitation, it became like a monkey. The reason why a monkey, an ape, is so funny is because it looks like a person, and it's not a person. There's nothing inside it. It's a fake. It's funny. It says, maybe it's worth spending a few minutes on it. It says all that Litzanis is us except for Litzanis Avodah Zarah. So why of all things is this Litzanis Mutter? The Litzanis always is when I take something, when I make a mockery of something, I project on one side what it wants to be, and on the other side what it really is. When I detect a discrepancy between the teichen and the expression, that's evokes litzanis. When I'm misleitis from somebody, if I take a neb and I say you're a neb, nothing happens. When I take a so-called adam chashev and I make believe, And I make him lalago lakelas, then it's litzanis, because what I'm doing with litzanis is showing that the chitzanis has no pnimius that it's meant to be showing. So avodah zarah, of all the things, that's what avodah zarah is. Avodah zarah looks very chashev and very miuchad and so on, and it's something which is. It pretends to be emes and so on, and yet it isn't. So litzanis is the perfect tool for upending avodah zarah. And so that's what he says over here, the chacham, and that's why an ape is so funny, because it looks human, but it acts like an idiot. And chachamim made schoik and litzanis out of this religion, out of Yeshu, because that's the appropriate response to it. That's the appropriate evaluation of it. It looks big and chash and so on, but it's not. Okay, we'll hold it here. So the next week is Parshas. This is Bo. So Bishalach and Yisro, and I'm coming back. So next 3 weeks we're not going to have a share. We'll just double check that. I'm leaving this Monday, so I'll be gone the 19th. Is Tuesday. I'll be gone the 26th, and I'm returning the 3rd. So, okay, so for the next 3 weeks, there's no, and Bez Hashem, we'll resume on Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph, Bez Hashem. Yeah, I'm going to Tetz Israel, yeah. Okay, take, what? Okay, take care, bye. Yeah, call to bye, thanks.